Welcome to the show. How are you today? I'm Gary Zimek, and I'm so glad you could join me on this Friday edition of the Gary Zimek Show. We've got a big show today. In addition to looking at the Mass readings for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we will be joined by Teresa Tomeo. This is an interview that I did with Teresa about negativity, online negativity. How do we avoid, number one, being victimized when we go on social media, make a post? I shouldn't say avoid, because it's not going to happen. You go on, you post about certain topics, right? You will get attacked. Well, how do we avoid losing our minds about that? And how do we avoid going after people or being negative on social media? It's a real challenge, and it's something that Teresa recently blogged about, and I asked her to come on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning, to talk a little bit about it. We're going to be playing that interview for you today. In addition, we'll have all of our regular segments. Let's begin with prayer, and then we'll chat a little bit and look at the Mass readings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us this time together. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given to us in our lives and that you continue to give to us in our lives. We especially thank you for your love, for the fact that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us and to redeem us, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're grateful to have these gifts in our lives. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for even the crosses that you give us, because we know that somehow they can all help us to get to heaven. So, Father, we just ask for the grace to continue to carry our crosses. And we ask above all that we may live with you one day forever in heaven. I ask you, Father, to speak through me today on the program. Please send your words, and please help me to be able to deliver them. Open our minds and our hearts so we can hear your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple of announcements that I want to make. You know what I just realized is pretty funny? My beverage du jour today, I'm not going to get it now, but I left it in the other room. It was a nice hot cup of Maxwell House coffee. I don't want to stop the show. I ran into some troubles today, and it's been difficult to get this show up and running, so I'm not about to stop now. I want to make sure that we get things loaded up and operational. But I hope you have a beverage. I happen to forget mine today. Hope you have a snack. Hope you're able to relax. I was thinking about this. I was praying the rosary with my family. We do this every night. And it's been a bit of a tough day, a lot of crazy things happening. Do you ever have one of those days where things are just spiraling a little bit out of control? Nothing major, just it's sometimes the minor annoyances, the minor difficulties, the minor how am I going to handle this type problems that really can take away so much of our peace. If you put them into perspective and you picture yourself at the end of your life, would you really get stressed out about these things? Probably not, but they tend to have that effect. And one thing leads to another, and before you know it, you're feeling a little stressed. Well, I was praying the rosary with my family and starting to feel good, and that's really the secret. You know, I'm going to tell you that. When you start to get stressed, you need to take a break and pray. This is what I've learned. If you don't know how to pray, try the rosary. That's a great prayer, and we should work on that. We should do more talks about the rosary, because it just takes your mind off of your own problems, and it helps you to focus on the mysteries as you're going through the rosary. Anyway, we're praying. I felt good. And I said, I can't wait to do this show. And I really mean that. I can't wait to come on the air with you and to open the Missal and talk about these Mass readings for Sunday. It has such a therapeutic effect when you go to the Lord and you hear His Word and you try to listen to what He has to say. It has an amazing effect. So I encourage you, if you're struggling, well, first of all, if you're struggling, you came to the right place, because we wanted to chat and read these Mass readings. And remember that when we do this, we're having an encounter with the Lord. It's one of the best things you can do when you are feeling stressed out. Make sure you take that stress and turn to the Lord. Pray, read the Bible, go to before the Blessed Sacrament, go to daily Mass if you can, go to confession, whatever you can. Do these things, and you're going to start to experience the peace that the Lord wants you to have. All right, we're going to do the Mass readings, couple of things. Big show on Spirit in the Morning on Monday. We are being invaded. You're going to see some of the ads on social media, and I'm going to be putting some things out. We are being invaded on Spirit of the Morning on Holy Spirit Radio by Catholic Answers. Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, both on the show. I'm going to sit down with each one of them and talk some apologetics. So this is big time. Looking forward to that. If you're able to listen to my morning show, Spirit in the Morning, on Monday on Holy Spirit Radio, please do so. It airs at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, and you could go to holyspiritradio.org to listen to the online stream, or you can go to spiritinthemorning.com to listen to the podcast after it airs. And we'll probably feature some of those interviews on this program as well, so you can sit tight for that, and you'll be able to get them there. All right, so that's happening on Monday, and also on Tuesday, I'm going to be unveiling my Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled podcast. I gave you some of the details. The rest of the details will be forthcoming. I'll actually be making the official announcement on Tuesday on Facebook Live. So if you're my friend on Facebook or you follow me on Facebook, make sure you look for that. I'll put it on my personal Facebook page. So if you are not my friend on Facebook, feel free to send me a friend request and we'll get set up there. All right, that's all I want to say about that. I'm excited. This is going to be big time and lots of good things coming. I feel coming our way because we're all part of the same team, right? Okay, followingthetruth.com is the place to go also for all the information about all this stuff coming your way, including total consecration. All right, I'm going to shut up now because we got some important readings to get through today. Sunday's Mass reading, 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading comes from the first book of Kings, chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "O Lord, my God, you have made me your servant king to succeed my father David. But I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a people so vast that it cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon made this request. So God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, not for a long life for yourself, nor for riches, nor for the life of your enemies, but for understanding so that you may know what is right, I do as you requested. I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now. And after you, there will come no one to equal you." We're going to tie all of these readings together at the end. But what I want you to notice is the fact that when Solomon encountered the Lord, King Solomon, and the Lord said, ask something of me and I will give it to you. I want to turn that question around and pose it to you. If the Lord asked you that, what would you say? Would you ask for some material things? I mean, honestly, you may need something material, but I think that's a really hard question, and you need a lot of wisdom to be able to ask for what you really need, because sometimes what we think we really need isn't what we really need. I can't tell you what to ask for, and I can't even say for sure what I would say in that situation. I honestly don't know, but I do know this. And I would have to really think about it, and it might turn into something like, "Lord, here's what I think I need, but if I need something else, give it to me." Make sure that when you're praying, when you're asking for things, make sure you ask for some spiritual gifts as well as just material things. Spiritual gifts to be able to follow God's will more, to be able to share His good news with other people around you, to be able to be more patient, to be able to get closer to Him, to be able to be less focused on the things of the world. You know, these are important things to ask for, but they're generally not at the top of our list. Take note of what happened here. Solomon asked for the right thing, and he ended up getting some other things as well, but he had his priorities straight. Now, Solomon had a lot of problems, don't get me wrong, and he's going to go on to do some really messy and screwy things in his life, but right here, he is using prayer to ask for the proper thing. He's really trying to be a good king. Psalm 119, "Lord, I love your commands. I have said, O Lord, that my part is to keep your words. The law of your mouth is to me more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Let your kindness comfort me according to your promise to your servants. Let your compassion come to me that I may live. For your law is my delight. For I love your commands more than gold, however fine. For in all your precepts I go forward. Every false way I hate. Wonderful are your decrees, therefore I observe them. The revelation of your words sheds light, giving understanding to the simple. Lord, please help me to love your church more and help me to lead others closer to you. Help me to be a better person. Help me to be a good example. You know, these are all things that we should be praying for. And I know most of us forget. It's so easy to forget these things. Let's just try to be more aware. Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. This begins with one of my all-time favorite Bible verses. Brothers and sisters, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Remember this, that whatever happens to you, whatever happens in your life, God can always bring good out of it. And when something seemingly bad happens, this is when we often turn against God or freak out. Understand, just go back to the fact that God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. You got to keep telling yourself that, because if you forget that, then you're going to look at the things that happen in your life, the disappointments, the rejections, the things that just don't seem to work out, and you're going to say, woe is me, I'm so miserable, God has forgotten about me. But if you think back and you say, wait a minute, he loves me, therefore I don't understand why I'm going through this, don't understand it, but somehow, Lord, I know you love me, and it's necessary. That is such an important connection to make. You're not going to make that connection without his help, without the ability to think with the mind of God. And that comes with wisdom and the gifts, the various gifts of the Holy Spirit. They can help you to be able to not fully understand, but at least to accept and to be able to realize that, yeah, God's got a plan. It's going to be okay, one way or the other. There's a bigger picture here. And, you know, you just work it through and you start to realize that it's okay. This might be inconvenient now, but in the end, I know this can work out. God can bring good out of any evil that happens. The gospel comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again. And out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it's full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And Jesus replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." There's really a lot going on in this gospel. I'm just going to hit on a couple of points. Kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. You know, a lot of us go through many years before we really get in touch with Jesus, where we really have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ and start to understand and appreciate the joy that comes from having that relationship in the kingdom of heaven. It takes us a long time, and then we finally realize, hey, Jesus is real. I mean, hopefully we all realize that. I know I came to that realization, and it took me a while. And then I began to understand, you know, there is joy. Just as I'm reading this gospel and these various readings, I am starting to experience a sense of peace. That's what happens as you focus not so much on your problems, but focus on the Lord. So Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. So when you find that, when you have that encounter with Christ, when you get that relationship, and you're able to really experience the kingdom of heaven, even on earth, then how do you react? Do you react with, out of joy, you go and sell all that you have and buy the fields? In other words, the material possessions that you have, everything you have, is less important than encountering Christ and that experience of the kingdom. And look, if you're not there, join the club. Most of us are not where we would like to be in terms of our relationship with the Lord. We get attached to all kinds of earthly things. But obviously, it's very important. And Christ is trying to emphasize the importance of the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is buried, too. You have the good, you have the bad. You have to be able to see with the eyes of faith and be able to see heaven in the midst of a lot of chaos in your life and in the world. The world's a crazy place, and there's a good chance your life could be a crazy place too. So pray for the wisdom, like Solomon did, so that you're able to see the Lord in all things. Don't try to do it on your own. Pray for the help to be able to do that. Okay, does that sound good? All right, I'm going to take a break now. When we come back, Teresa Tomeo, and we'll talk about online negativity. You're listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Teresa Tomeo.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Covering the stories of American soldiers killed in Afghanistan took an emotional toll on CNN anchor Jake Tapper, who wrote a best-selling book called The Outpost. He explained, "Having very brave men cry when they're telling you their stories is a humbling experience. In general, I got to know these soldiers through their loved ones and friends, and I mourned for them even though I never met them." Some of Tapper's sadness is for the survivors as well. He notes there are thousands of veterans not getting the care they need to deal with post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injuries. Part of the reason is the stigma attached to mental illness, which prevents some veterans from seeking the help they need. He hopes his book sheds some light on those problems, resulting in changes for the better. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Online negativity. We see a lot of it. We go on Facebook, we go on Twitter. Everybody's attacking everybody else, and often these attacks get very personal. Here to talk about that is someone you are very familiar with. You hear her program on Holy Spirit Radio every morning at 9 a.m., our friend Teresa Tomeo. Hey, Teresa.
Hey, Gary. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. All right, Teresa, we're going to talk about online negativity. You recently blogged about this for our Sunday Visitor.
Right.
Teresa, before we do that, I want to get some of your thoughts, though, on the Charlie Gard case.
Yeah. Well, Janet Miranda was on my program yesterday, and it's so heartbreaking when I first read the breaking news that they were going to stop in terms of, you know, trying to get him to the United States because it was too late.
Right.
Now, the thing that really struck me was that his father at the press conference, when they made the decision and went out to the public to make the announcement, kept saying that if they were able to get to him earlier, for example, if they had been able to bring the American specialist over earlier and possibly get him back to the United States earlier, over to the United States earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to judge anybody, but in my mind, knowing as much as I do about covering these stories pertaining to the culture of death, how much of this really was planned to stretch it out because they knew at some point they would simply just have to, God forbid, pull the plug. So I hate to think like that, but when you see these efforts that are going on and the discussions, for example, that Janet and I had yesterday about problems that she's had with her mother-in-law when she was passing, problems that I've had with my elderly mother and people insisting she go into a nursing home when she's still perfectly capable of taking care of herself. This push to end life and to get rid of people, you know, this attitude of this throwaway society is everywhere. And I can't help it. Maybe it's a cynical journalist to me wondering what was in their minds as they were, you know, adjudicating this case.
Now, Teresa, this ties in perfectly, I think, to this post that you're here to talk about.
Right.
Because here we have a story that's very negative by nature. This is not a pleasant story. And we, and you as a Catholic journalist, and we here at Holy Spirit Radio, same thing, we have a duty to present the truth. But how do we avoid crossing the line? You know, you post about this, and it's very easy to say these doctors, they're out to kill this baby, and to make it a personal attack. How do you avoid crossing that line and speaking the truth, but not attacking the person who might be, you know, misleading other people?
Well, I think what you have to do, first of all, is always raise questions. ask questions.
Okay.
And then secondly, well, first, actually, at the same time, when you raise questions, you point to their own statements. What are they saying? What is their record? If, for example, if this is the judge, I'm not saying this is a case who has ruled in, you know, the same way in other end-of-life cases, then you need to point that out to people. You put the facts out there and you raise some questions. And there's nothing wrong with saying this is my personal opinion,
right,
and I think this may have happened, because we're entitled to that.
Right.
But you never condemn anyone. You always say, even when I write about the media, I just wrote an article about Katie Couric, and I don't know if you heard, this is something else that maybe we can talk about another time, but Katie Couric, the purveyor of fake news, is lamenting in a New York Daily News article about the problem of fake news. Meanwhile, she was sued for $12 million last year for deceptive editing, and I basically said, look, you got to pray for her, because she's obviously delusional. You know, how can she face a $12 million lawsuit regarding deceptive editing? And there were other cases of experiences that people have had with her that were of the same genre. So how can she sit there and make these statements? So you raise questions, you point things out, but you don't have to be mean about it or ugly about it.
Right.
You speak the truth in love. And sometimes you do have to get firm. For example, I posted an interview of our friend Uju Ikeocha from The Culture of Life, who got into a very heated but respectful debate with the host of the BBC regarding bringing contraception and abortion to the continent of Africa. Now, Uju did not mince words. And she very nicely but firmly told the woman, who are you to tell my country how we should live our lives? And so she put it right back again. She asked a question. So I think if we know in our heart the Holy Spirit how to treat people, he will guide us. Once in a while, I would say most of our listeners, and I'm sure you've had this experience too, are very respectful, even if they disagree with something they say. But every once in a while we get one, and I had a doozy of one last week, that was so condescending, that was so insulting, that accused me of all sorts of things that I supposedly did or didn't do on the air that never happened. And I had the evidence to back it up. And when I sent her back all the evidence with the articles and with the different interviews I did, she sent me back, not even a comment, but some link to something else that had nothing to do with anything. So, there are some people that you're never going to make happy. They just want to vent, and you just want to argue. But I think for the most part, you speak the truth, you put it out there, and you raise questions. And if someone gets, I'm not in the habit, as I said in the piece I wrote for OSV, I don't think it's a good idea to necessarily block people just because they disagree with you, even if they disagree with you strongly.
Yeah.
Sometimes you let those strong opinions stand to allow other people to weigh in and to see what's going on out there in the culture. It can be a good lesson. Now, if someone starts using foul language or insults or threats, then basta, that's enough. I had a man, the guy that I referenced in the article, it was awful. And I left his comments up for about a few hours. But then when he started to say, I hate you, I hate EWTN, that's when I said, okay, you're done. The foul language started, and I just blocked him. I said, you're done. You know?
Right. And by the way, I will have a link to this article, really good article, Teresa. I'll have a link to it at spiritinthemorning.com. So if you want to turn to it and see what Teresa wrote, make sure you do that, spiritinthemorning.com. Teresa, there comes a point that when we post, even if we're being positive, I've seen this happen numerous times, about pro-life issues, about health care, about immigration, about so many different things, even political posts, very middle of the road, not attacking anybody. There is a point where we can expect to get attacked. You cite a Pew Research Center study saying that roughly 4 in 10 Americans have personally experienced online harassment. 62% consider it a major problem. How do we handle that when we do get attacked? Not for being nasty, but just by putting the truth out there on social media.
I think we have to expect it. I mean, if we think this is going to be a bed of roses, especially in this day and age. I mean, look, the church has always been countercultural.
Mm-hmm.
And if people loved us and loved the church, if the world loved the church, and I'd say, Houston, we have a problem. Now, that's never going to happen because of what the church stands for.
Right.
We are blessed to know that this is always going to be the case. However, in this society, it's going to be a lot worse than maybe earlier years. But again, we just put it out there. We just keep putting it out there. And what I like to do is I like to put a lot of articles that are secular articles that back up truth, because people sometimes think that, well, if I'm going to witness, I have to quote scripture, I have to put up a document, which is great, which we can, but what is really going to get people attention, and also maybe, hopefully, get a check in their spirit, is when you refer to, let's say, secular publications or secular studies that confirm repeatedly what we already know to be true, because whatever you're putting out there about science, about morality, about good and evil, that all reflects God, because he's the author of everything.
Right.
I don't know if you heard the show yesterday, but we were talking about abortion and poverty and contraception with the Couple to Couple League, and this very nice young man called in and said, I get what you're talking about morally, but we need to have an intellectual argument. And it's just, it's the truth is that when you have contraception and abortion, it helps people, you know, out of their situation. And I said, really? I said, explain to me what's going on in 8 Mile in the city of Detroit at these abortion mills that my husband counsels at every Friday. Explain to me what's going on in the inner city of Chicago where abortion and all this is so prevalent, and New York. These people are not in any better situations. As a matter of fact, it makes it worse. And then I told him, you know, I'm sorry very nicely, but you're wrong. So I think you have to sometimes be firm with people.
Right.
But at the same time, put up articles or information that comes from the secular world, because whether people realize it, the truth is going to surface eventually. There's an article I posted on my Facebook page this morning that people should take a look at, from the New York Times, no less, Gary, that says that even if people claim they don't believe in God, they are still searching for meaning. They are wired for meaning, realizing that deep down, the Holy Spirit, they don't know that, that's the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is telling them that they are made for relationship. And, of course, we know that's first and foremost with God. But it was fascinating because here are these intellectual people, you know, laughing at us because we're Christians, which actually, if you've ever read Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, is more evidence for Christ than there is for a lot of what, you know, we claim to be true in history. Laughing at us and, yes, saying they actually believe in UFOs and aliens. And crystals, the power of crystals. But we're the crazy ones.
We're the crazy ones,
Yeah, but I mean, even like the study that I put out, I put that on my Facebook page before I wrote the column, you know, the study about harassment online makes people think, and geez, maybe I need to be a little bit more Christ-like in my approach. So I think we always have to, again, you know, 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense, you know, but to do it with gentleness and reverence, and not to let, and this is hard for me sometimes, our emotions, because I'm 100% Italian, I'm half Calabrese, so I'm very stubborn, not to let that get to me, and I have to back off sometimes and maybe come back to it later. But you're always, 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 always thinking of maybe helping someone. That's how I approach it. I'm putting something out there, not to say I gotcha or ha-ha, but to say, look at this, because this is what God is telling us about who we are, made in his image and likeness, and I'm just trying to use my page to help people think.
And you're doing a great job. Teresa, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you. You always make time for us every time I invite you on the program. Look forward to hearing you later today on Holy Spirit Radio. And you know what? I look forward to when you're coming to town for the Wine Women's Conference, right? Guess what? We're going to be broadcasting live from that conference. Maybe, if I'm extra nice to you, do you think I can get you on the air?
Oh, well, I think it'd be a blast. You should have me and Kelly Wahlquist. We'll suck the air out of the room at the same time.
Will do. Will do. Teresa, thank you so much. Teresa Tomeo.
All right. Love you, my friend.
Love you as well. Follow her online, teresatomeo.com. Wow. Good interview.
Many Protestants believe Christians can be absolutely sure they're going to heaven because John tells us in 1 John 5:13, I write this that you may know you have eternal life. But is this true? The answer is no, and here are some reasons why. First, John writes in the next verse, and this is the confidence which we have in him. For John, the knowledge we have of our salvation is not a certainty without doubt, but a confident assurance. And that's the Catholic belief. Second, we know this is what John means because in verse 15, he draws a parallel between our knowledge of salvation and our knowledge that God grants our requests. Do we have absolute certitude that God will grant our requests? No, but we are confident he will answer. So, Catholics need not worry. John is not teaching Protestant doctrine here. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
All right, we're back and it's time to go. I want to thank you for tuning into the program. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Remember to pay attention to those readings that we talked about today. You know, the Lord is really clear with what he's saying. Make sure you spend some time and pray for that grace to be able to ask for the right things in life. It's so hard to sometimes get distracted. If you'd like to find out more about the work that I do, my website is followingthetruth.com. Visit me there. Check out the videos. You can check out my books there. And remember, the big announcement about the podcast, the official announcement about the podcast for Warriors is going to be coming on Tuesday. But I'll see you back here on Monday, God willing. Thanks so much for listening. God bless you, and see you next time. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.